2 Kings chapter 6, verses 24 to 33. War and famine. And in this discourse, I want to deal with the king of Israel. How did the king of Israel react during the time of war and famine? Well, it's Aram again. Aram is a warmongering nation at this time, especially where it concerns Israel. Sometime later, Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, mobilized his entire army and marched up and laid siege to Samaria. That's verse 24. Verse 23, the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. But that was only a lull. The gap between 23 and 24 is just a temporary lull. This is a warmongering nation. Chapter 5, verse 2. Chapter 6, verse 8. Chapter 6, verse 23 is just a little temporary law. But this time, it's not raiding parties, as we've had before, earlier. Chapter 5, verse 2, for example, or whatever. 6, verse 8. Here now we have a full-scale siege of Samaria. He mobilized his entire army, and he marched up and he laid siege to Samaria, and it was successful. The famine is severe. There was famine in the city, 25, great famine. The siege was long-lasting, lasted so long that food was at a terrible, terrible premium price. And the circumstances had got so bad that cannibalism had broken out. There was the eating of children. And then there was deceit, this woman crying out, "We ate my child yesterday. It was supposed to be her child today. But now she won't cook him for us to eat." What a dreadful condition. And here is the king of Israel marching amongst his people. Apparently he is repentant. Verse 30, we know that when he tears his clothes, he's wearing his hair shirt. He's tearing his clothes, he's wearing a hair shirt, he is rending his garments. Yes, he truly is a repentant man, and he's talking about God too. 27, 31, and 33. Oh yes, he's talking about God, he's concerned, he's worried, he's repentant. But the truth is, my friend, it's all external. He's rending his garments, but not his heart. He's wearing his hair shirt, but he's not repenting toward God. Oh yes, he talks about the Lord. Verse 27, if the Lord does not help you, where can I get help? And so on. In verse 31, may God deal with me, be it ever so severely, if the head of Elisha, son of Shaphat, remains on his shoulders today. And then verse 33, which I take to be the king, speaking, this disaster is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer? Yes, he's using the name of the Lord, of God. But look what he's saying. He won't wait for God. He's blaming God. Well, he's blaming Elisha, but that means he's blaming God through the prophet Elisha. And it's all words, external. This man reminds me of the politician who, in times of trouble and disaster, likes to talk about God, whom we are praying for you and all the rest of it. We pray for these people in disaster. There's days of prayer and all that. But so very often it's just words. It's obscene. It's obnoxious to hear it. It's degrading. This man has got murder in his heart. Verse 32. Elisha knows. Don't you see how this murderer is coming to get me? He hates Elisha, because truly underneath, he has no time for God, and that's putting it moderately. He's a murderer. He's blaming Elisha. He's blaming Elisha, 31. If the head of Elisha stays on his head today, well, I'm not responsible. I'll go for him. This man has worked miracles before in times of famine. Can't he do it now? You see, he's blaming God through the prophet. He's got hatred in his heart, and his repentance is outward, and that is all. It's in his lip. It's in his clothes. but not in his heart. He's hostile to Elisha. He's hostile to God. I read this throughout the Bible. The book of Job talks of hostility to God. Romans 8, 7, the natural man hates God, is hostile to God. And here's this repentance, but it's not repentance at all. Now, there are three verses in the book of Revelation, 9:21, 16:10, and 16:11, where men are visited with the judgments of God, and they gnaw their teeth, they gnaw themselves in the pain, but they refuse to repent and turn from their wicked ways. 9:21, 16:10, 16:11. Three times they curse God. Three times they're in grievous anger and bitterness and hurt and pain, but they still will not repent. This is the natural man all over. The natural man will not come to Christ. He will not have Christ to reign over him. He refuses to repent. Though he can talk about God, he can go along with religion. We've just had a new prince born. It won't be long before the archbishop will be so-called making him into a Christian by sprinkling some water on him and talking mumbo-jumbo over him. It's obscene, I say. It's obnoxious. It's degrading. Is also wrong, and I see it in the king of Israel here. All outward talk, all outward show, but no heart work. Now do I condemn myself out of my own mouth here? I want a heart to praise my God, a heart repentance, a heart trust in Jesus, not just in the head, not just with the lips, not just externally. It's easy to wear the right clothes, carry the right Bible, the right version, the right hymn book, be in the right place at the right time, and say the right words. But over a heart to be filled with Christ, to be truly given up to Christ. Let the King of Israel rebuke us, my friends. Brother and sister, I appeal to you, don't you want to be more and more sincere, more hard work, more heart love for Christ? More heart knowledge of the Spirit of God. Something must be known and felt. Something must be experienced, a real inward experience. Unbeliever, don't be content with talking about God. Don't be content with religion. Religion is the death of spirituality. Don't be content with externals, with going along with the form and ceremony and rites, and using the right phrases and terminology. You need a heart given up to Christ. You need a heart submissive to Christ. A heart alive to Christ. May God work this in us. You must be born again. The Spirit of God must give you a new heart, a new mind, a new will, a new disposition, a new desire. And you must become new creatures in Christ Jesus. The King of Israel is outward, and that is all. And hatred is in his heart, and he's not genuinely a spiritual man. Let him stand as a warning to us, and may this discourse be profitable to bring us all to a true spiritual walk with Christ. Amen.